is the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown, Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Mike Martz. Mike, we talk with Matt Forte once a week.
Oh, my guy. I love Matt. I just love Matt.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Hey, Matt, I saw that this year the Bears have four dudes with 600 receiving yards. Okay? That's the first time that has happened, with four members of one Bears offense having 600 receiving yards or more since
2014.
And who were the dudes? Who were the four dudes on your team? You were one of them, Matt. Who were the
others? I would say me.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall,
yes,
and Martellus Bennett.
Right, you're right.
Matt's top 10, though. Second leading rusher in the NFL, does everything for us.
Yep.
He's one of the best players in the league.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Matt Forte going to join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. We're trying to get him up on the Zoom link, and there's a whole thing that's happening with the sidelines. And
I've been thinking about Matt because for so many reasons, but one of them is that this is only the third time the Bears and the Packers are going to meet in the playoffs. First was 1941. 1941, the second time, and the most recent time, was the NFC Championship game in 2011, 15 years ago, and I'm looking at the box score of that game right now when Matt Forte had 17 rushes for 70 yards. He was targeted as a receiver 15 times. He had 10 catches for 90 yards in that game. And that's, you know, obviously a Caleb Haney and Jay Cutler combination performance. Todd Collins also had four pass attempts.
Todd Collins!
In that game. That's the last time the Bears and the Packers played in the playoffs. Only three times in history. It feels like more than that because every time they play feels like it has playoff vibes.
Yeah, there is an anxiety to it that makes it feel like it's happened more. And those times, like, it's why... It's a scary thing to have happen is you going up against them going up against you, and what it means to both fan bases.
Yeah.
And you experienced this, Speaks. You were there for it.
That felt like almost no sporting event I've ever attended. And we'll touch on this a little bit more on the 5 o'clock hour with a conversation we want to have. But man, that violent energy and just the anticipation, and then in that game, the explosion at the end is like almost nothing I've ever experienced.
Matt Forte joining us here on The Score. What's up, Matt?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man, all things are good. We appreciate you, and we want to think about the year and talk about the year in full that we've experienced together, but it just came up, so we got to ask. Last time these two teams played in the playoffs, Matt, is 2011, the NFC Championship game. And so that was your third time playing them. I don't think it was the third time in 6 weeks like this matchup will be, which is crazy. But what is it like facing a team for the third time, especially when they're the hated rival? What is that like?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, it was a different little case when we played back in 2010, 2011. We had a chance to take care of business at the end of the season and didn't do so, and that came back to bite us. But in this case, the Bears obviously won the last matchup at home. Didn't win up there, but I think, you know, it's an advantage and it's a good thing that they have a home game, you know, being the Saturday that's the first playoff game. They got the home field advantage, and weather won't really be an issue, but the feeling of it is the preparation is key. You know, you faced these guys twice already. This is the third time facing them. There's not anything new or, you know, I think when it comes to the playoffs, coaches may be a little scared to put in new wrinkles here and there, but you kind of know what you're going to get. And when it comes down to it, it's going to come down to the preparation before the game and during the game, being able to execute and cut down on silly things like pre-snap penalties, which have kind of been a thorn in our heel, you know, since the beginning of the season. Cut down on stuff like that, and then be excellent out there like they have been, trying to take the ball away. And then I think the key, which is always going to be one of my keys to the game, is going to be running the football again.
Yeah, let's talk about that part, because the Packers' run defense is not good. And we've seen the Bears' offense over the last couple of weeks. We saw it be really spectacular against San Francisco with a couple mistakes here or there. And then this past week, it took a little while for it to get going. It feels like to me that the idea should be they should be playing to the strength of their run game. How do you think Ben will emphasize that this week?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I think it's a mentality. And I think they do have that mentality of, hey, we know how to run the ball. We can run the ball. And to know not trying to be one of the coaches or one of the guys who's going to say or rely on past performances or try to rely on some of the past mistakes that they've made where, okay, just because – you know, they gave up 200 plus yards to Derrick Henry doesn't mean every team going to, you know, roll out of bed and make that happen. But in the same instance there, you have to look and you see that there's some issues there and some things that can be exploited. And so I think their mentality is going to be coming from Ben that, hey, you know, we got to be able to execute this run game in order to control the clock, keep their offense off the field, but also score points and kind of control the game, being able to control it at a pace that they like to play at.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I mean, they ran for a buck 32 in the game they lost up at Green Bay, and they didn't run it much in the first half. And then on that Saturday night, they ran it for a buck 50. So it's not – so they can do it, and I hope the hell they do. Let's go back to Sunday for a minute. What were your thoughts when you watched that effort by this team as they lost and then backed in later on, thank you to the Commanders? What were your thoughts as you watched that game?
My thought, man, I was watching the game and I was, concerned of on defense, they were just giving up a lot of explosive plays, especially they were playing a lot of man-to-man too. And I just couldn't understand why they, you know, had Amon-Ra St. Brown manned up and he was, you know, kind of just torching the guys, no matter who lined up on them. And that is a concern that's going into, obviously, this playoff game where, you know, it's like, are we going to play man-to-man on their receivers? Are we going to mix it up? Are we going to try to – how are we going to pressure the quarterback so that they don't have time to just sit back there and throw dots like Jared Goff did and not start slow, you know, where you're down 16-0 and have to fight and tooth and nail to come back and then not be able to get – keep the ball and keep a drive to where you can go down and kick a field goal and kind of give it up and leave the ball in the hands of the other team. So that's one of the concerns that I have going into this game. But at the same time, I think after the last 2 weeks, understanding that this team knows that they're always in the game. It seems to always come down to the last play almost. But for them to focus, I guess, to learn on the past 2 weeks, you know, what have we done wrong? What have we not taken advantage of to be able to execute out there on the field? And knowing that this is win or go home, knowing that you can't make mistakes out there that we'll say, oh, we'll get it next time. It just doesn't work that way.
So a common refrain that I hear, Matt, is that, and I heard it in the hallway yesterday, I read it in a column over the weekend, that maybe that was a good thing. Because it's a bit of a wake-up call. Coach lights them up afterwards. They all know that they can't bring a performance like that. Is that even possible that, you know, you can come off a down effort like that and get smacked into a better effort the next week?
Yeah, it's something that I think more on the outside looking in, people take that as kind of a silver lining. I'm one of the believers, as when I played as well, as, hey, there's in this game, there's no moral victories. There's no, hey, we did play well, you know, almost, and we almost got, like, there's none of that goes on. It's like, look, we got to get the job done. So there's always good within the bad. And if you can look through that and be honest and hold everybody accountable, I already know their standard is high, the way that Ben, runs this team and how Caleb as a leader on the offense, how he, you know, holds everybody accountable, holds himself accountable. I think that they do take the good from the last 2 weeks and then put and try to implement that this weekend.
Matt Forte joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Matt, what's the difference, if there is one, between what a regular season game and maybe even a rivalry game feels like versus what a playoff game feels like?
It's almost unexplainable, man, when it comes to the atmosphere of the playoffs in Chicago in particular. I was a part of the playoff, you know, run back in 2010, 2011, and then it becomes special because you never know when that's going to happen again. For me, 10-year career, that was the only time that I got to do it. And it's this feeling that's in the air, especially on game day, you wake up, and it's just something that is special about it. And when you step out on that field and you lace them up, you know it's like it's go time. And so it's an odd feeling. It's a feeling of, you know, the engine is running hot, you know, as soon as you wake up. And for me personally, it's nothing like it. And like, I don't know, my words will not do it justice. So I'll just, you know, try to keep it at that.
Well, you're really good at kind of harnessing your emotions as a player. Not everyone is. Like, it can be overwhelming sometimes. And I think we saw some of that in the last Bears and Packers game where the guys are maybe a little bit too amped. If someone were to ask you, how do I get myself ready for this? How do I handle my emotions? What remedies would you give them to try and get themselves into the right space?
I'd say, because, you know, I tell my kids this, I tell young athletes I come into contact with too, like the game is the biggest part. The mental part of the game is the biggest part of the game. So mentally prepare yourself and try to find balance within that. The balance between, hey, this is a big game, but it's not the only thing in the world that's going on right now. But at the same time, hey, you lose, you go home. You know, so how do you find that balance? Tell them to find that balance. And then also I would say mentally, man, focus on your job. Focus on exactly what you need to do every single play, every down, and do that. Win your battle, win your matchup, every single one. And then you can worry about the larger picture of, you know, for me personally as a running back, like, I'm doing my job, but then, okay, somebody's losing a block on the backside. Let me go help him, or, you know, let me get an extra chip, even though I wasn't asked to do that, to help the lineman or you know, help secure protection. You know, talking with the quarterback, I see, you know, corner blitz has been coming in on third downs. You know, just talking and communicating in a way where you are focusing on what you have to do and making sure you win your particular matchup.
Man, that's good stuff. I mean, it's funny. You as a teammate, the way you're describing that stuff there, taking care of your stuff first, but then you're in the mindset where you can help and you can be supportive, and that's what it takes in football, right? Ben Johnson said that they made 6 mental errors in the first 11 plays, Matt, on Sunday. Mm. And that's like, whew, that made an impact to hear that. So that's a lot of dudes not in the right headspace. That would piss off a coach, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mental errors is one of the things that, I mean, we practice so much. You walk through, you watch film, and mental errors is one of the things that you have really no space for and no tolerance for. 6 mental errors within the first 11 plays. You know, somebody's not lined up right. Somebody's making the wrong read. Somebody's blocking the wrong person or not getting to the right, you know, area in the right timing. And the beautiful thing about football is that there's so many people on the field at once, and so everything has to be on point at the same time. I mean, yeah, you could break tackles and make special things happen. You know, that's what the great players do. But for the most part, everybody's got to be on one accord. And, you know, unity is the best thing as far as a team, both on and off the field. Those teams that have unity, those are the teams that you can see. It displays itself out there on the field. So, man, the mental aspect and also the unity aspect of being on the same page really accounts for a lot that is the success part of what goes on the field.
It's a really interesting week here, Matt, because we got the bad taste of that performance Sunday. We've got the incredible anticipation for the game on Saturday. But, oh, by the way, we have a regular season that is now finished, and we can look at what has been built here. What do you think has been built here in this year that is sustainable?
More than anything, I'd say confidence a culture and some respect. I think for a long time, people say, oh, it's the same old Bears, and it's not. And that comes from the mentality that has been instilled in this team, that comes from the confidence that they've gained from winning. It comes from the belief in the system, the belief in the coach, and what he's displaying out there and what he's coaching his players to do in that coaching staff. And then it comes from showing at the end of the day. It comes from showing it. And you go out there, respect is never given. You got to go out there and earn it. And I think that is some major takeaways that they can have and continue to build on as a foundation of this Bears organization going forward.
Even though inside of a game, you're pretty locked in. And you're telling us about the experience of playing in the playoffs and how it's like, hey, nothing's guaranteed. Now that you've had some space from it, is there a moment that you remember that you'll always keep with you from the playoff experience?
Yeah, man, I'm locked in right now. Hey, the feeling of this week and leading up, I would say it was all about the preparation going into that week. And then something that will always stay with me, unfortunately, is the feeling after that game. I think I had a decent game. It was like 160 all-purpose yards. I had like 10-plus catches, something like that, in the game, trying to, you know, make an impact where I could. And you still, whenever you don't come out on top, that feeling of what else could I have done, you know, in this situation. So those are the things that you don't want to leave the game with and have those memories. You know, you want to come out on top. But more than anything, I would say is just the it was, I mean, Soldier Field was rocking, man. It was an amazing atmosphere to be a part of.
Matt, you had 17 carries for 70 yards, right?
And then what, 10 catches for 90-something yards?
He had 15 targets, 10 receptions for 90 yards. I mean, I think you did everything you could have possibly done, Matt.
Yeah, but when you look at it, though, I go back and watch every point of the film, and, like, there's moments where, man, if you maybe have broken a tackle and then you trip coming out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, what if I keep my feet? That's a touchdown. You know, like, those are the things that you harp on every single moment of those games where you look at, even if it was a good performance, it wasn't good enough.
See, that's what makes somebody great.
100%.
And then you got to live with it, though, when you're done. You got to live with those feelings when
100%.
You're done.
100%. Matt, as always, we appreciate the perspective and the education. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all, man. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, let's get it. Let's get it on Saturday night. That's Matt Forte.
Matt is really interesting because Matt's not like a screamer. But when you talk to him, you're like, yeah, I think I'm ready to play now.
Oh, dude, that intensity. Oh, yeah.
Right?
It got me ready.
He's not the frothing at the mouth guy that's no. Like, oh, let's go. But you're like, I think I'm ready.
Yeah.
I think I'm good.
Okay, let's see. So if all 22 of us are as on point as that guy, we're going to be just fine.
Hey, man.
Like, he is locked the F in. And that definitely made me feel locked in.
I feel for him because I've talked to other players, and, you know, Charles calls he has two NFC championship rings, one with the Bears, one with the Panthers, and he calls them loser rings.
Oh, dude, yeah, I know.
Thomas Jones won't watch the Super Bowl. Yeah. He has not watched the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the same stuff that makes you laugh makes you cry, right? The same stuff that makes you great can drive you crazy. That that mentality from game to game, from week to week, year to year, made Matt Forte one of the best backs of his era, without a doubt. But then he's got to live with it on the back end, and it's the same thing. So then you got to figure out some other stuff to do.
And you got to put that passion someplace else and figure it out and all of that stuff. We'll talk with Matt Bowen about this too.
Yeah, and Matt Bowen, it's funny. I was going to ask Matt some other questions about the defense because that was his takeaway from Sunday, but I figure we got Matt Bowen for that. It's pro day.
It's pro day here on the Spiegel and Holmes show, and Matt Bowen will join us at 4 o'clock. We're going to turn the page at 5, but we were having a conversation as a show about Sunday, and we haven't Saturday. We haven't officially turned the page to it yet.
Yeah,
but we wanted to take your temperature on it.
Yeah, because we're in the space of in between. I think your topic fits the in between.
So you should start thinking about the phone number to this place, which is 312-644-6767. By the way, tune in tonight starting at 6 for a special live playoff edition of Take the North with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer. TTN. They'll be joined by Cole Kmet at 6:25, getting you set for Bears v. Packers in the wild card round. That's tonight, 6 to 8 on The Score and the Odyssey app. Subscribe to the Take the North podcast wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Let's talk about a negative thing and some negative feelings that could arise
from
something
buddy.
Very positive.
Appreciate you.
Hey, man, it's my role on this show. You're Mr. Vibes. I'm Mr. Bad Vibes. Back after this on The Score.
A lot of negative vibes.
See, you bring Bleck and Abdallah in here, and that's what happens.
Those guys. Bleck and Abdallah, they've gone from hated rivals to hated teammates.
What are you doing?
I'm just kidding.
That would have been the sounds of Elton John, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting,
Saturday
combined
night's
with DJ
right.
Moore's winning touchdown grab against the Packers.
Caught! Theater of the mind!
And following by DJ Moore saying, F the Packers, always.
Oh,
so
man.
There we go. What a fun game. You guys remember it. It's in my mind forever, really.
That's
I don't even need
Packers
to hear
yeah,
always.
That sounds like a great bump right there. Man, that's a killer. If it becomes possible to fire and actually get that to work, just
I wouldn't
do
count
it.
On it.
See, this is behind the scenes, but I'm watching him try to play this, and it's like twitching. It's like threatening to play,
really?
And then not playing.
I saw him pick up a laptop.
He was
going to throw it.
Yeah, and I remember it was mine, and it's already not good.
And then he also thought better of it. Yeah,
can't do that.
Someone
hand
me
nice
someone else's laptop. Here comes Ryan Porth. Hey, is that still doing that thing that I was just doing?
Y'all, still is. Y'all need a
been doing it for years. All right, and here we go.
Y'all need a laptop to throw. Y'all need a laptop. You can use my laptop. You can throw that anytime. Tell him to put on regular pants. Those overalls look weird, man.
He's not wearing overalls.
I'm taking that piece of straw out of his mouth and put Lawrence's pitchfork back in the shed.
That corncob pipe that he's got, just I
but
don't
his button
know.
Nose is so cute though.
And that old silk. That old
they just
silk
found
hat.
It. They just found the old silk hat.
I just love the fact that this is where
just
Ryan
around.
This is where Ryan Day is hiding after that loss. He's now here.
He really looks exactly like Ryan Day, folks.
Exactly like
it's amazing.
Ryan Day.
Good job firing, the guy who is now at Northwestern,
Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
yes.
Good job doing that.
All right, Ryan. Back to Bears.
Thank you.
So look, the four of us were having a conversation about how great the Bears season has been. It has been unbelievable.
Joyful, psychologically and emotionally satisfying, intellectually satisfying.
It's been so much fun.
Like, a wonderful distraction from things that are bad.
Correct.
In the world.
Speaks, and you brought it up yesterday. I heard the midday show talking about this a little bit this afternoon, too.
Mm.
The idea of seeing all of the news about coaches getting fired, who's the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
All of that stuff doesn't mean jack right now.
Just
the Chicago Bears as a franchise.
Nothing at all.
I wrote it down, what Matt Forte said, and it's beautiful the way that he described it. You asked him an awesome question. He gave you an awesome answer on how this has changed. Confidence, culture, and some respect is where the Bears are as a franchise right now. And that is mostly because of Ben Johnson. I think it's mostly because of what Caleb Williams has turned into and that confidence that has grown from this team coming back and winning a whole bunch of games. And we had a lot of fun last week even talking about we don't even know which game we point to and say that's the moment because there were so many moments.
Yeah, there were.
With this team this year.
So it's been a joyful and a wonderful year. This does not sound like the negative vibes that you promised us before the break.
Here's my thing. On this.
Here it comes.
If this were any other opponent, Speaks, I would tell you that it doesn't matter if the Bears lose on Saturday. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't cast a pall over the Bears season if they lose. If they lost to the Rams or the 49ers again, it wouldn't cast a pall. I'm telling you, from a psychological standpoint, since we are using that as part of the barometer here, from a psychological standpoint, if the Packers win on Saturday, it's not going to feel great for a while. It will take people a while to get back to the space of, you know what, 2025 is a really great season. It's going to take a long time to get back to that place if they lose to this team on Saturday.
So look, if they lose Saturday and Sunday, it'll feel like, man, this year, God, they just didn't get far enough, you know, and you lost to the damn Packers. Probably feel that way for the rest of the month and through the Super Bowl. You're saying beyond that, like when we look back on 2025 or in the off season, in the summer, as we're dealing with Cubs and Sox, the season will come up and it's going to have a more than 50% negative connotation? Is that what you're saying?
I think by the time we get to training camp, getting ready to open back up, people will be super excited because of how well things went in 2025. But I think that time in between, the space in between, will be filled with loathing and anger and can't get over the hump. And the crazy part, and we were talking about during the break, the last four games between these two teams,
right?
The level of anxiety
is crazy.
But it's been awesome.
But hang on. I want to go back to this idea of you projecting loathing, projecting hate and bad vibes. That's a choice, man.
Bad vibes, babe.
That's a choice. Seriously. That is a choice.
It is.
And to make the choice, like even in the spring or the early summer, to look at 2025 in a negative light, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there.
I imagine that you will not be, but you will also be touched by the baseball angel.
Yes, but I will be able to zoom out on this thing and be able to see what has been built, which is the nature of the conversation with Matt. What has been built here that is sustainable?
I don't think people should ignore what's been built. I just think that if it were anyone else, it would be easier to let that go, to let a loss go. And our audience, what do they talk to us about all the time?
Beat the Packers.
When it comes to these two teams and them dealing with family members and friends and coworkers
and
urinal cakes. Does it mean the owner of the Bears? Our guy, I was watching our guy Jared Payton on Channel 9 yesterday morning. Yeah. Him and Pat Tomasulo were chopping it up. Jarrett won't say Packers. George won't say Packers. The idea that this won't have extra added psychological effect on this city is crazy.
Let's take the temperature of the audience. 312-644-6767. You heard Lawrence Holmes' thesis there. If the Bears lose to the Packers, does the season have an overall negative connotation for you moving forward? I think it's a really interesting question. 312-644-6767. Because all I can use in terms of recent data points is 2018, when your year one head coach had a wonderful season. Your team was really good and had a playoff game, hosted a playoff game, and lost it on a double doink. And lost it to the Eagles. Now, it's not the Packers, and that's a big data point here.
The Packer thing is
it's a big data point. But take yourself to that summer. Don't take yourself to everything that followed. Take yourself to that summer. That summer was full of joyful expectation.
But listen, like, that's what I'm saying. Once we get to July, it becomes okay.
Even before that, though, that late spring, we harped on the double doink and we were pissed about it. And again, maybe it's a choice, but the way that I remember it is like, but man, we got something. We got a coach. We got a quarterback. And that's the way that we'll still feel, even if they lose this thing on Saturday, we will still feel, yeah, but we got a coach. We got a quarterback. That offseason was fun as hell to look forward to what was to come.
I agree. But
that's the space I can compare it to.
It's an interesting comparison for sure. But the one thing that you will then end up with, if you're the Bears and you lose this game on Saturday, yeah, you guys won the division. What was your record in the division?
Yeah, 2-4.
And then you ended up kind of 2-5.
Yeah.
Hey, right? Because you lost to the Packers in the playoff game.
You guys beat us once. It was that fluky-ass win when you got the onside kick on a Saturday night when our quarterback was concussed. Yeah, right? I know.
It could feel really bad. Oh, like, man. And that's Speaks, that's part of the reason why I'm like, I'm of two minds on this. Because there's an
there's, I don't like your minds.
No. There's an exorcising of demons that could happen.
Well, that's the thing. Look, here's the thing.
Think about how great it feels if they win the game.
I said that it had, with that win on the Saturday night a few weeks back, I said that it had the vibes of getting past the Cardinals in 2015 for the Cubs, right? Had those vibes. And I tried to not go all the way there because this game is necessary to go all the way there. And I said that, and a whole bunch of Packers fans responded to that clip on social media that the Score put out there of me saying that, essentially saying, one fluky-ass win, and this guy thinks the Bears have passed the Packers? GTFOH.
When the truth is that organizationally, they're probably more even than they have been in a long time. And I use the four games, even before the Bears regime change,
yes,
as an example of that.
And we'll touch on this and turn the page. But to your point, I said it had those vibes. And a whole bunch of Packers fans were jumping out saying, that was a fluky-ass win. Let's see it. And now they get a chance to see it again.
312-644-6767. Let's go to Rockford. That is the home of that's Gettysburg when it comes to Bears-Packers. Hey, Zach, you're on the Score.
You know, just a few things here. If the Bears lose that on Saturday, yeah, it's definitely going to suck. But you know what? This has been the most exciting season I have ever watched myself. It is absolutely insane that all these Packer fans are talking all this mess. Because you know what? In the long run, I think they're personally scared. Because look what Williams and Johnson has done.
I think they are scared. I think they are scared, and we have enjoyed their fear in post-game calls and pre-game calls about Ben Johnson and a little bit about Caleb, yes.
Speaks, you know that clip that we were talking after the first Bears-Packers game, and we were saying, hey, they're scared. The Beast is scared. I'm still getting notifications on Instagram of that clip from Packers fans. So that was what? 7-8 weeks ago,
yeah,
that there are still people that are commenting on it because it's like, how dare you say that the Packers fans are scared? They're terrified, and they should be, and that's a great thing overall. Everyone should like this league and this particular division being competitive should, yeah, scare everyone in it. The Bears should be scared of how competitive the Lions are still.
Yeah.
The Packers should be scared that the Bears are this. And finally, there is a little bit of parity in this league.
It's a great question. The calls are lined up. There's some incredible texts that I will clip and save.
Some really good texts.
Yeah, let's take a break and continue the conversation on Spiegel and Holmes. What's it going to feel like if the Packers lose? A lot of negative vibes from my partner here on 670 The Score.
Bears 1-for-10 on third down. Handoff goes to Menangai, breaks a tackle, first down and more. Busting it up the middle, across the 50 to the Green Bay 47. Carrington Valentine finally got him down. Again, the Bears only need a field goal to win. And they've got it at the 46-yard line of Green Bay.
Nothing devastating up front, just sustained contact leading to that game.
Why wouldn't they hand it to that guy every freaking play? 9 carries, 50 yards, averaging almost 6 yards a carry.
I mean, they might on Saturday.
Hope so.
Running against the Packers is a way to beat this version of the Packers.
Lawrence Holmes is asking you, Score listeners, how it would feel if the Bears lose on Saturday. Does it cast a pall on the season? The texts are overwhelmingly in agreement with you that it would cast a pall. Here's some texts. You asked to take people's temperature. Here's one. They better not lose this effing game. I swear to God they better not. What temperature is that? Here's another. As a Bears fan living in Wisconsin, surrounded by Packers fans, I am absolutely terrified. That's what people would have to live with. And Sean in Charlotte says a lost Saturday would be like having an amazing meal and you find a hair on your last bite. Still a great meal, but that hair sure did change your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might even be worse than that. I really worry a loss to the Packers sets this team back a bit.
I don't know. I'm not going that far.
That's a bridge too far.
Because I don't think that it necessarily even impacts the team. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the city of Chicago. I'm talking about all of the good vibes, babe, that have been going on around this team all season long. The puffy chestedness. It's been beautiful.
Yeah. It's because for the first time in 35 years, the Bears may be going past the Packers. That's what you think. That's a big part of it. And that could be sullied.
I'm glad that the 815 texter understood the imagery. Hilarious, you call Rockford Gettysburg. From there, my whole life, my dad's side of the family is from Wisconsin. I work in Janesville with all Packers fans. It's nuts here, Yar. And yes, they are talking trash, but it's clear they are terrified of the new Bears.
Yeah, well, that's sports for you. They're scared and talking trash at the same time.
It's a good thing. It's healthy. Let's go to Kenosha and talk with Drew. Hey, Drew, you're on the
Kenosha.
Score.
Oh, Kenosha. I wonder what this guy thinks up in Kenosha.
No, I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Bears fan.
God love you.
So my take is that, like, I'm trying to think of the big perspective, the wider perspective on this. And, you know, you mentioned, Steve, you had Packer fans, you know, saying, oh, it was just a fluky win. You know, you don't get the onside kick. You think you're better. You know, you're really not.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think, if the Bears hadn't blocked the field goal against the Raiders and they don't get the return against the Vikings and they don't get the onside kick against the Packers, yada, yada, yada. Let's say they have four or less wins. And we're going into next season with them playing exactly how they did, but maybe coming up a bit short on those, you know, games, or like going .500 in those games. We would be excited. We'd be like, there was a lot of improvement.
Sure.
And Johnson's turned the culture around. You know, it's exciting. Caleb Williams is awesome. He's got 3,000, you know, 900 whatever yards. Like, and we would be excited about it. And so I don't feel like losing a close game to the Packers on Saturday would really change my opinion about that.
That's a great call.
That would be if they get blown out.
Yeah, no.
Lose by four touchdowns. Then, you know, maybe different.
But. Yeah, no, I think that's a great call because you're zooming out and looking at the thing holistically, and you're able to do that now, and I think you'll be able to do that in about a month, if need be. Probably not going to be able to do it for a while, but you'll be able to do that. And people will get there at different times, but he's right in terms of quality and the arc and what you're building.
I think if they lose, everyone gets back there once July comes around, and then the panic sets in the first time the two teams play. But everyone gets back there when we get closer to camp, and everyone gets excited. But you know, it's living with that for a long time after. The success and the steps that have been taken by the Bears would be rough.
Texters asked a similar question about the nature of the loss. If Caleb scores 40-plus and loses, but it's all on the defense, we'll feel like, all right, fix the defense and we'll get somewhere.
Fixing the defense is really difficult, and I think that was true for the game where he throws the interception at the end.
Yeah, it sure was. I said so. It felt like the last moral victory of the year. I said that out loud.
That part.
I said it 100% that day after.
Let's go to Milwaukee and talk with Janet. Hey, Janet, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Originally from Chicago, but live in Milwaukee now, and it would just be horrendous if the Bears lose. Dealing with the Packers, living here in Packerland, it's just, I would suffer. And I'm normally happy-go-lucky, but I wouldn't be.
See, I don't want you to suffer. We don't want you to suffer.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I just couldn't deal with it. I just, there's the arrogance. I mean, they've always been beating us up. And, but that's why I go to Chicago and watch the games. The vibe there is absolutely amazing.
That's
so anyone
tremendous.
In Wisconsin, go to Chicago and watch the games.
You travel to Chicago to watch the games?
Oh, yeah. I have family still in Chicago because the energy, it feels like, I mean, I'm there every weekend. People think I'm nuts, but I'm like, you know what? This is the vibe that I need.
That's so wonderful. I love
Janet,
that.
Janet, here's the thing.
That's so great.
I'm not in the business of rooting, right? Like I'm still got my reporter hat on occasionally. I want the Bears to win just for you.
Just for Janet.
Just for you.
Just so her days don't suck.
And all of the Janets that are in the listening audience right now.
This one's for all the Janets.
Every Bears fan that's just been quietly hiding in Kenosha. every Bears fan that's been sitting there in Rockford, at Rockford's best Mexican restaurant, Taco Bell, and has just been dealing with, it was voted number one. There was a sign.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just making that up. was a thing that happened. I want all of those people that are so close to the border, as Les would say, the cheddar curtain.
Yeah. Well, look, she was talking about the arrogance. You want to know what's really arrogant? You want to know what's
Matt Nagy. Arrogance by Matt Nagy.
Yeah, you want to know who had more arrogance? Wayne Larrivee. This surfaced this morning, and this is as much a reason as any as to why the Bears are going to win this freaking game on Saturday night.
Wayne, let's pretend it's Saturday night. Josh Jacobs plows into the end zone, right?
Easy.
That's the game win. Give us a little example of what that's going to sound like. Can you just give us a little taste of that, Wayne? Come on. Just do it, right?
All right,
Josh
Jacobs,
3-yard touchdown run.
Packers, second and goal at the 3-yard line of Chicago. Here we go. Hand off to Jacobs, and why not? Plows up the middle, carries bodies into the end zone, and there is your dagger.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
Boo!
Blast that man into the sun.
I feel really bad for Wayne. Wayne was put in a no-win situation.
Yeah,
right,
the guy's
there.
Trying to warm, like, easy.
Yeah. Some radio jamoke asking Wayne Larrivee to apply the dagger to a game that has not been played.
And you see that Wayne's, like, he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be with the same level of energy that I might do it in a real game.
That's a good point, but he still did it.
It's a no-win for Wayne.
Okay, but he still did it. Bears by 100. Bears are going to win by 100. Screw that. He mushed it. He's Wayne Mush. Wayne the Mush Larrivee. By the way, I love this texture. I now identify as Janet. We're going to win this one for all the Janets.
I think that every Bears fan knows exactly what Janet is talking about.
Yeah.
The fact that she has to flee her home,
man,
to come watch
Janet,
football.
I was there for like 10 hours and experience exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, look, here's the thing. Emerson College has now dismissed Wayne Larrivee from their list of distinguished alumni. Dismissed! You don't get to claim Emerson, sir. Dear sir, Tom Scherer has now moved ahead of you on the list of important broadcasting alumni in the history of Emerson College.
Chuck McDowell can help you get rid of that timeshare if you need it.
No, that's a timeshare.
Oh.
It's very different.
I thought it was
we need
weird
to have Chuck McDowell do radio calls of Saturday's
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I thought it was
that
weird
would
that,
be fun.
That he was going after Tom Scherer. It's a very weird.
Jacob's touchdown. There's the dagger. I'm Chuck McDowell.
Poor Wayne. Just no win situation for that man. It's like, all right, I'll do your dumb thing that you want me to do.
Man, these calls are excellent. Your phone conversations are excellent, and we should try to get back to it a little bit later on.
We will do our
best. It's pro day, though.
It is. Matt Bowen is going to join us to figure out what the hell went wrong with the Bears defense last week. That's next on The Score.